But, you know, why don't you go on ahead and talk a little bit more about the report to reform the PRC?
Okay. Well, the PRC has actually been dysfunctional ever since its inception in 1996. And you had said earlier, Mike, maybe to just go over some of the legislative history so your listeners can understand how this body came into being. And prior to 1996, we had the State Corporation Commission and the Public Utility Commission. The State Corporation Commission actually dates back to statehood and was put in our Constitution, and back then trust busting and Teddy Roosevelt were at their height and people were worried about the railroads, and it was really set up to temper the power of the railroads. And it had problems almost right from the beginning with corruption and so forth. It was elected. The PUC, on the other hand, was appointed, and it was set up a little bit later to regulate utilities, which are essentially natural monopolies where you can't have more than two people in the market. Take, for example, you know, electricity. You don't want to have five electricity lines going through our communities. So then you have the problem of setting the price, and so the PUC was originally created to do that. And then in 1996, a two-term legislator thought, well, we've got these two regulatory bodies, and he was well-intentioned. He thought, well, maybe we ought to just merge them into the Public Regulation Commission. So he put a bill in 15 days into a 30-day session, and it was a small bill. It was three pages, 57 lines in total, but it had massive implications because it created essentially the most powerful state regulatory agency in the country in terms of the scope of its jurisdiction, which stretched from utilities, so gas, electric, water, wastewater, and telecommunications, to insurance, everything from home, auto, health, life, etc., to motor transportation, so taxi cabs, they regulate and set the prices for, as well as market entry for taxis, buses, shuttles, vans, moving vans, tow trucks. They also regulate ambulances and railroads, even ski lifts and the state fire marshal's office. So it's an enormously powerful agency that was created in this statute. And unfortunately, there are very few qualifications. The current qualifications, which go back to 1996, is that you're simply old enough to vote, 18, you've been a resident of the state for 1 year, and you have no felonies. So it's kind of a bad marriage between really broad jurisdictions with very few qualifications. So the speaker at the time assigned the bill to four committees and I think realized that this would be a nightmare. And it was sort of comical what happened next if it wasn't so serious. It first went to the Voters and Elections Committee, and they passed it without recommendation, which is legislative parlance for, we don't really think this is a good idea, but we'll give the sponsor an opportunity to fight for another day. And then it went to Business and Industry, which is a committee that is best known for killing legislation, and I think that's why the Voters and Elections Committee passed it, is they assumed that Business and Industry would kill it. But Business and Industry passed it by a very narrow margin, 5-4, with three members missing. And then it started to gather some steam, and it got to the House floor with 12 hours left in the session. And I think the House members voted for it thinking that it would never pass the Senate with that little amount of time left in the frantic last hours, that there wouldn't even be enough time for the Senate to hear it in committee. So they passed it. And then the Senate, Senator Manny Aragon, assigned it to the Senate Rules Committee, where it appeared that it was going to die. And then with 1 hour left in the session, Senator Aragon did a very rare procedural move where he pulled it out of committee and brought it down to the Senate floor as the next order of business. And the Senate then passed it. But that didn't put it into effect. It still had to be sent to the voters. And I think the Senate thought, well, the voters will never go for this. And 1996 was a long ballot year with presidential election, Senate election, congressional elections, the entire legislature was up for re-election, you had judicial elections, bond elections, and then there were seven constitutional amendments, of which this was number six. So it was at the end of a very long ballot, and there wasn't really much discussion of it, although I found an Albuquerque Journal article right before the election in which both Gary Johnson and Raymond Sanchez, the Speaker of the House, who were not allies, had very negative things to say. Gary Johnson predicted that we'd end up electing people that were not qualified, and Raymond Sanchez predicted that it would be an extremely powerful agency. Of course, they were both right, but unfortunately, it passed 51-49%, and it's been sort of chaos ever since. And, you know, it doesn't really take a think tank to figure out that this is a state agency in need of some dramatic reforms, and there have been several commissioners who got elected and who have since been convicted of felonies. The first was Carol Sloan, who had to be removed from office by the Supreme Court for aggravated assault. And then most recently, and your listeners may be familiar of the troubles that Jerome Block Jr. has been going through, and he just admitted to six different felonies and is scheduled to resign within the next week. And then there have been several other PRC commissioners that have gotten into trouble but not felonies. And we just feel that this is such an important area that impacts every New Mexican who pays an electric bill or a phone bill or a gas bill or buys insurance, that especially in this weak economy, that we need to make some changes. And the first is to address its very broad jurisdiction, and what we would do is refocus the PRC on its core mission, which is regulating utilities. And talking to the commissioners, many of them say, you know, they're just overwhelmed with all the things that are on their plate, and it would be better to focus in on just a few. And regulating utilities is fairly complex. So we would strip away, for example, insurance, which most states have as a separate, standalone agency. A second area that they, right now, is that they license corporations in the state, but so does the Secretary of State. And so we've made it very difficult on businesses, ironically, in this environment when we want to attract and retain businesses, to file their reports and registrations with the state. And so we'd consolidate all of that at the Secretary of State's office, which would save taxpayer dollars, but also make it easier for businesses to register and report to the state. Another reform has to do with regulating railroads, which right now is split between the Department of Transportation and the PRC. The PRC regulates the safety of railroad crossings where state roads intersect railroad ties, and the Department of Transportation does the reverse, where the ties intersect the state roads, and so they've got overlapping jurisdiction, and we would park all of that with the State Department of Transportation rather than the PRC. Perhaps the most provocative proposal addresses the most archaic regulation that the state that the PRC does, which is they set the rules for market entry and set the prices for taxis, shuttles, buses, moving vans, tow trucks. We think that would be better done by the free market. And, you know, your listeners may recall in 1980 that the federal government deregulated trucking and airline travel, which reduced costs for shippers and consumers, and actually extended transportation into more rural areas, and it was a big success. And very few states still regulate the prices for transportation, and we think New Mexico should join the vast majority that let the free market do that. And market entry is particularly ridiculous because a lot of our communities, like Santa Fe, where I live, we have one taxi cab company, and the an entrepreneur recently tried to enter that market, and his idea was to have a green taxi company with just hybrid vehicles, which in this community would be quite popular. But under our archaic laws, he had to notify his potential competitor, who naturally thought it was a terrible idea and filed a 200-page brief, not including affidavits, with the PRC, and made it so cumbersome that this entrepreneur just couldn't deal with the hassle and pulled out. The second problem that we're trying to address is the very low qualifications, which I mentioned earlier, for the PRC, and there we would raise it to either a college degree or 5 years of relevant experience, because we recognize that many New Mexicans have never had the opportunity to go to college because of financial circumstances, but have the professional experience to do the job. We just think these qualifications need to be enhanced in the private sector. If you had a job like this that paid $90,000 a year and where you were making very complex decisions involving tens of millions of dollars, you would expect some minimum educational or professional qualifications, ideally both, and currently they're very few. So that's our second major recommendation, and so that's basically in a nutshell, a very long, large nutshell, but that's what we're trying to do in this upcoming legislative session, and I hope your viewers, if they want more information, will go to our website, which is www.thinknewmexico.org, and it will explain more about our proposals, as well as make it easy for your listeners to contact their legislators, and all they need to do is type in their address, and the computer will have a pre-typed letter to your state senator, your state representative, and the governor.
You know, Fred, I would like to interject here. This commission, from the way you've described it and a lot of the overlapping that goes on, it almost sounds like a cross between a bad dream and the movie Groundhog Day that had Bill Murray in it. Would you agree or disagree with that?
That is actually a very good description, and I'd like to use your permission to use that description myself. But
go right ahead.
So that's exactly right. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And you're right, especially about the Groundhog Day. And in fact, in our research, and I'm sending you a copy of the report, and if your listeners want a copy, they just need to email us at our website, and we'll send them a complimentary copy if they're a listener to your show. Just let us know. But, you know, even from the get-go, the State Corporation Commission, which was the predecessor of the PRC, we found a government report in 1920 talking about abolishing them and distributing their duties to other state agencies and getting rid of some of the duplication. And so this has been going on. People have been calling for the reform of regulation in New Mexico at the state level for 9 decades. And Jerome Block's felonies, I think, maybe for the first time, create an opportunity for some real reform. And we're very encouraged that two of the current commissioners, one is the chairman, the other is the longest-serving member, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, have endorsed our proposals and said, look, you know, we've been on this thing long enough to know that it's really set up to fail, and we're not doing ourselves any favors, and we're certainly not doing the public any favors. And, you know, it's quite unusual, Mike. You know, you know that politicians don't generally willingly give up power, but here are two that are willing to sacrifice that to get better, more timely, more efficient regulation and get rid of some of these other things that are, frankly, superfluous and, in the case of motor transportation, counterproductive.
You know, I'm just kind of curious. I know that you've got, I don't mean to say the word old guard, but I will say that, you know, just for a point of reference here, but, you know, you've got people like, you know, House Speaker Ben Lujan, who's been in there for a number of years, and of course you've got, you know, right now the President Pro Tem of the Senate, Tim Jennings, he's also been there for a number of years. I'm just kind of curious, some of the members of the legislature that have been there, you know, since the inception of this, which, like you said, goes back to the mid-90s, have you had a chance to, you know, poll them and see what their reaction is to it?
You know, you're catching us right at the beginning of launching this campaign, this initiative, and we just only yesterday put copies in the mail to legislators. So I haven't had a chance, but I was encouraged that the Republican House leader, Tom Taylor of Farmington, just sent me an email this morning. I think he read about it in the newspaper, and he said that the PRC has been an embarrassment as long as he's been following it, and he volunteered to help sponsor it, and naturally, I think we're going to take him up on that.
Well, Fred, I want to thank you for taking the time for talking with us on the program today. Again, we've been chatting with Fred Nathan of Think New Mexico. We've had a chance to talk to Christina Fisher before, but it's good to talk to you, so now we've had a chance to make the rounds here, so to speak. Any final words you'd like to leave us with?
No, just that the people can get information again from our website, www.thinknewmexico, spelled out as one word, .org. And I guess I should mention that I think your PRC member in Artesia is Ben Hall, who is not a supporter. In fact, he's having a press conference in a few minutes here, and I think, unfortunately, he's going to come out and oppose it and endorse the status quo. And hopefully some of your listeners who know Commissioner Marks might contact him and share with him their views and try to ask him to reconsider his position.